Well, I'd appreciate your prayers this morning. And I believe if you'll pray and the Lord will bless, that we can get something out of this morning. I'm going to put a visual on the board for you. Last Sunday, I had the privilege of stopping by the Neosho congregation for Sunday morning. And I really hadn't considered ministering, and we ended up going, and on the way there, the Lord dropped a thought in my heart, and I wanted to be faithful. Anyway, I had the privilege of going to Yosho, and the Lord had put a thought on my heart, and I delivered it. But it kind of stuck around and started growing and growing, and I've had it all week, and I'd like to give that to you today. I had the thought, it was Christmas Eve, and we have a tradition in this country, and most of the world, I suppose, a lot of the world, of celebrating Christmas, and I like Christmas. But there is a variety, a large variety of thoughts about it, Christmas. There is those that are on one end of the spectrum that believes that it came somewhat from a pagan idea, and that if it was once pagan, it's always pagan, and if you celebrate it, you're pagan too. And then on the other side of it is that it's about the Lord and what he came to do, and if you don't celebrate it in its entirety, then you're pagan. So there's the two spectrums and two ends of the spectrum, and then in between that is just about every kind of a thought that you could come up with. And I'm not here to really talk about that, but I just want to lay a thought for it that Jesus, he did come. It's almost positive by scripture that wasn't born on the 25th. If it matters to you, it doesn't to me at all. But if it matters to you, he almost positively wasn't born on the 25th of December. And I heard a thing recently I'd never heard before that suggested that the day that was picked for 25th of December had nothing to do with the winter solstice at all, or the celebration, the pagan celebration of that. It was actually a full week up before that, and the reason why the 25th of December was picked was because that there was an old saying, I think there was, or an old idea that the Christ would be crucified on the day of his conception. And if you figuring the 25th, then it would be 9 months would be the 25th of December. And it would be December, and that would be his conception. That's the way it was supposed to work. I have no idea about all that. There is no way for me to prove it or not prove it. But my mind about it is, and this is kind of a side note, but my mind about this it was expressed by Paul in Philippians 1 when he said, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, I will rejoice. This is my mind. Let Christ be said. Let it not be erased from the earth. Let it be. And I'm not a bumper sticker Christian. I don't do the Jesus saves on my bumper or all that. I think there's a scriptural way to represent Christ. I think that we're to do it with our lives. I think we're to do it with our attitudes. I think we're to do it in expressions. I'm not really the Jesus saves on the hat. Although if you're going to put anything on your hat, put Jesus on there. If you're going to have a bumper sticker, put Jesus saves on there. I'm about, let Jesus be lifted up. Let it be told. I rejoice if Jesus is told. And if somewhere along the line, some honest soul says, what is this whole thing of Christmas about and of Jesus about? I'm satisfied. Let him be able to have a starting point or an idea that Jesus existed, that he did come. I'm all for it. I'm all for it. All the rest of it is, there's some noise and some garble in there that there's no way for me to go back and see what it all is. But I will say this. Jesus did not, this was not a part of the gospel plan. You can't find it in the scriptures about our celebration of it. But we also celebrate from the 4th of July to Memorial Day to Veterans Day to, I mean, humans love holidays. I mean, there's a secular part of this, a totally secular idea about this, and I'll take all the secular days I can get. I'm not against any of those things, but I do want to make this point about it. He did come. And he came for a purpose. He came for an idea. He came for a purpose. There was a reason why that he came, that we don't want to lose the idea that he came and why he came. So the familiar scripture, I just want to read a couple verses of this. It's in Luke 2. We read it every year at Christmas time. It's a Christmas story. You can pick up part of it in, I think, Matthew 2. But Luke 2 is usually the scripture that we look to. And there's a phrase here, and it says, in the seventh verse, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in a swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day. I know you is singular in most of it. It's always singular, but singular can actually mean the group of you. It means to you all, basically, or the group of this. The shepherds were talking to the shepherds, so the you was probably you shepherds and you this. But he was unto you. Unto you was born this day, or given to you. This is what Jesus comes from. Now I have a question for you here today. Did Jesus come to be served? He didn't. Jesus came to serve unto you. Jesus came to serve you. That's what he came for, was to serve you. I asked this question to the other show, I'll ask it here. Did anybody get, I mean, it's part of the tradition to get Christmas presents. Did you open yours? Did anybody not open the gifts, if you got them? I don't know if you do the tradition. Most people do. Did anybody get gifts and just be satisfied with the package? Did anybody, I don't know, nobody's really saying that they didn't. Anybody not open them? So far, nobody did. You opened them. I got a few and I opened them. I wanted to know what was in there. I mean, what's useful here to me? I want something here. Unto you is born. Unto you is something that is beneficial to you. You know, you don't have to open. I know of situations till people wouldn't because of bitterness or I don't accept. I am not accepting this gift from this person. I'm not going to open it. But I would say for the most part, if you got a present, a gift, it's pretty wrapped. Mine was really pretty wrapped. They had these ribbons around them, and it was really pretty paper and all. And by itself, it looked like it was something that was appealing and all that. But that wouldn't last too long. There was something in there. Now, there's a passage of Scripture where we had it Thursday in the foot washing part of our service, where the Lord comes and he starts washing the disciples' feet. And it didn't say much about the other ones, but he said he come to Simon Peter. And Simon Peter says unto him, Lord, will you also wash my feet?
And Jesus said, Peter, you don't know what this is about, but you will know what it's about. And Peter said, Lord, very emphatic, you will never wash my feet. Now, I think Peter done that of a good heart. I think he had a sense of great honor, that he was his master, and he was not going to allow, in his heart and mind, he was not going to allow Jesus to lower himself down below him and minister to him. But this is what Jesus came for. Jesus came to minister to us. He brought us unto you. Peter, unto you was born this day in the city of David. Unto you, Peter, was... This is going... If you don't learn this now, you're not going to be able to develop the gospel in your own life. You cannot serve yourself, Peter. You can't help yourself. You're not going to have the right mind to do it. You're going to have to allow me to minister to your soul all the way through. You need to learn how to allow me to minister unto you. I don't know about all this stuff for Christmas. I like all of it. Hey, I love the songs. I like the lights. I like all of that. But all of it means nothing really if I don't accept the real gift. The real gift was the gift of Christ. Unto me, it wasn't. I know I have a heart. You do too. Everybody that serves the Lord really has a heart that we want to do something for the Lord, right? I like to give the Lord a gift. You know what the gift the Lord wants? He wants you to accept his gift. Because he knows you can't do anything. How can I bless the Lord? Well, he gives us stuff in our life to give back to him. It's a circle of love. Yes, we'll do that. But what the Lord wants to do in our life is minister to us, unto you, unto the world, unto Bethlehem, to all the world, unto you is born this day. This is what it's really about. No, 25th of September, October, November, December. It doesn't matter unto me. This was given to us. And so the Lord says to Peter, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part. This ministering that Jesus was about to do, this gift that he brought, you can't have a part without the acceptance of what the Lord did. This is what he brought to give. And he said to him, and Peter was like that. We all kind of get the idea of what Peter's personality was like. So when Peter found out that, he was one end to the other, Peter was. And so he said, wash me all over. Calm down, Peter. Calm down. You don't need, that's not what you need. You need a heart to accept what I have to bring to you. You know the Lord wants to heal our problems. The Lord wants to minister to your spirit in forgiveness. He wants to take bitterness out of our hearts and lives. We're going to have to accept the gift that God has for us. You're going to have to accept that. And I was thinking about, I've seen a number of times where these creatures, these wild animals or animals that's went feral or whatever, and I desired to help them. And Brother Ivan, you know what I'm talking about. My dad found this little old raccoon one time. He's just a little old fuzzball of a raccoon. And he was half starved to death. And it was so cute. And if you never had one, they make an adorable pet. They're very fun in their activities and all. And we did that a lot. We had pet groundhogs and squirrels and raccoons and stuff. And my dad found this little raccoon. And I was determined I was going to make a friend out of this little raccoon. And
at start, I'd reach in and get him, and he was all razor blade teeth and claws, and he would go to, and he, but he was so little, he just almost couldn't do anything. But after he got me a few times, and I was determined that I would feed, he would eat a little, I mean, I could feed him, but when I went to get him to try to pet him, oh, he would growl and fuss and claw and bite, and if I was strong enough to hold him down, I could, you know, I could do it, and he would kind of calm, and I'd do that, and as soon as the release a little bit, he would bite and snarl. So I got me these big leather gloves, and I told my dad, and my dad said, he was a little wiser than me about it. He had done it all the time. He said, I've never seen one that's been actually been out of the nest like that that'll tame. You're going to have your hands full. And I would get them gloves, and he couldn't bite through them. And I would just get him and I would make him let me pet him. And he seemed like he could almost get till he enjoyed the stroking and the petting. Until I released enough grip for him, and they'd snarl and bite, and the days went on, and he got bigger, and he got bigger, and he didn't get tamer, and I thought he should be getting tamer, but he wouldn't get tamer, and he got bigger and bigger until his teeth started going through the gloves. That, do you know, I never was able. We had to eventually turn him loose, and pretty sure that just shortly we've seen him in the road that he got run over. But he would not accept that. He was not going to accept. He snarled and he bit. You know, the Lord wants to do something for us, and he unto you is born this day was what it was all about. He didn't want us to. He didn't say nothing but celebrating all that. He actually wanted to celebrate his death, but he wants us to accept what he brought to us. You know, that in the wild, I've seen this a lot of times, but you can see them on some videos. Sometimes these big whitetail bucks at a certain time of the year, do you know that whitetail bucks are very friendly and group-oriented almost all the year? They actually run in buck groups. And they watch out for one another, and they are very, very friendly towards one another, and it comes up to a certain season, the mating season, and they become aggressive to one another for territory and things, and they start doing it, and occasionally they'll lock horns. And if those horns won't unlock, they're going to die together. And they're found sometimes like that, and the idea, the people, somebody wants to go and unhook them, and they will fight against that and go against that. And of course, they're wild, so that's what they're going to do, and they're trying to do it. They don't know and realize it, but they're going to die if they don't. I wonder how many people, relationships gets all locked up. I mean, how many people gets this something happened, you said something, somebody said something, and we're supposed to be looking out for one another, and it's a blessing to have somebody looking out for you and have somebody that you can count on, and that's what God made it to do, and sometimes it gets locked up in the differences of life and all of that. Do you know God wants to set us free from that? Unto you is born today. To accept his gift, we can't hardly do this by ourselves. This becomes really hard. You ever try to work out somebody's problems like that? And you get them together to try to work it out, and then and you think you're getting somewhere, and just now it gets crossways again, and gets all just kicking, but and it won't. You can't get them unhooked for nothing. You know what the Lord wants unhooked at? The Lord doesn't want us like that, all hooked up with one another and stuff. And there's but we're going to have to accept the gift that the Lord, he's got it. He's got the grace for us to humble ourselves. At one point, he went so far to say in this, that the apostle asked the question, why do you not suffer wrong? Wouldn't it be better to just suffer wrong than to bring a reproach against God? Why would you assert yourself so much to give an image of this fleshly activity, a part of God's people? Why would you do that? Why would you not accept the gift that the Lord gives? There's grace in there. There's forgiveness in there. Do you know you can be wrong? You can be wrong and you can accept that. Do you know there's grace for accepting wrong? Do you know what the gift that was given to us?
He didn't bow up and stop because he was done wrong, or we wouldn't be saved. He'd have brought down some lightning and thunder and called for the angels, but he suffered the wrong. You know they lied about him, called him Beelzebub. You know he spat on him and called. You know he was actually crucified, the scripture says, without the gate or outside the gate. He was crucified as though he was the vilest of sinners. He was cast out and he'd done all those things and he still had grace to do it with. He done it. Unto you is born this day. He brought something and he wants us to be able to accept it. If somebody gives you a gift, you accept it, you open it. There was a story, I won't look this neither, but it's in the third of John if you want to look at it. There was a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He was high up. But something was going on with Nicodemus inside him. I think you can give me liberty to say that by reading the passage in 3 John. And he heard about this Jesus. He knew about Jesus. He knew what they were saying about Jesus. They was calling him names and doing all that. But in Nicodemus's mind, I believe, if you give me liberty, I believe in his heart and mind, he knew Scripture. He knew what it was, and he could not conclude by what he knew and understood that this man wasn't of God. Because we know thou art of God, because no man can do these miracles unless God be with them. And he was struggling with the idea, if he's of God, listen folks, when he come and told the Lord that, he took away his arguments. You have to realize that when he said you're of God, that meant that he had come to a place to where he couldn't make the excuses that a lot could. Because you're of God. Now, if I accept that, then I'm going to have to say, if he's of God, then he's got something here and he's got that. Now, some people, when they get a gift, just rip the package apart. I get into that. You ever see somebody open it and start untying the ribbon? And you're like, come on. Nicodemus was one of those guys that was slowly trying to get in the package. He knew there was something there, but he was cautious. He had pressures against him. He was somebody, had an image and all those things. But Nicodemus, I want to tell you, unto you is born this day. Unto you was given this too. You too, Nicodemus. Everybody gets the privilege of this gift. Right here it is. And he wondered, what is this? What is this? I want some of this. What is it? And so, you know, the story of Nicodemus is one of my favorite stories in the scriptures. I relate so well with all that went on there. Nicodemus come in at night. Why? Because of peer pressure. Because the pressure's around him. It's better to come at night than not come at all. You can say, well, Nicodemus, he wasn't much of a guy there. No. Nicodemus, come any way you want to come. But come. Because there's a gift here, and you don't have it yet. You might not be bold enough to stand up against the pressures against you now. But when the Lord gets a good hold of you. I had a friend of mine in Bangladesh. And it was a pastor, Robert and Latika Stalker is their name. I'd done a lot of back and forth Bible study type stuff with them. And I got a message one day and they was hallelujah. They was hallelujahing because there was some local people there they was working with that had got saved. And they was hallelujah. They had got saved and they had set up this baptism time. And they was excited about getting to baptize these folks. And they had set up this time of baptism and all that. And so when they come time to do it, the participants chickened out. Folks, listen. Being baptized over there ain't like being baptized here. We all say hallelujah here. Over there, there's a lot of people looking saying, this ain't happening. So anyway, they told me, and they was weak. Oh, they was so, oh, they was bad. They messaged me. Oh, and I said, well, what's wrong? Oh, we thought that, you know, and they wouldn't be baptized. And I want to tell you what my answer was. I said, listen,
You work with them until they love God like we do. Then they'll come and be baptized. Work with them. Don't give up on them. Stay with them here. I said this is a big move because when they get baptized, their family won't talk to them. Well, I mean, when they get baptized, they're maybe persecuted and prosecuted. I mean, they knew that there was a big thing here to make this proclamation. And they would say, I'd say, wait a minute, it's going to take more. It's going to take more. They need more of the gift. They need to give himself more until the Lord works with them. And now I'm willing to do it because my Savior, I want to do it. I don't like the phony push things. I don't like twist people's arms. I don't like all that kind of stuff. I like for the Lord to get to them. I know he will. I know he wants to. Unto you is born this day. Unto them was born that day. Encourage them to what this is about. Encourage them that you're going to need to do this. And I say one day they will. And you know what happened about 2 weeks later? They had it. They had enough and they come and they was baptized there. Don't give up on them. God got a gift. God wants to do something for us in our lives. So Nicodemus come by night and he talks with the Lord and the back and forth. And there was an expression there that the Lord said. And you look at it in John 3. And the Lord says, almost interjects into the passage, that as it was in the wilderness, when they lifted up the serpent, if the Son of Man be lifted up. You remember that? You remember when the children of Israel had got over there and they had these fiery serpents that was biting the people and there was no remedy. They bit them, they died. And Moses goes before the Lord and the Lord gives them an answer and says, if you make this brazen serpent and put it up on the pot and you lift it up. You think he lifted it up like this? I think he stuck it up in the air. And the Lord said that if they got bit by the serpent, that they was to look upon the brazen serpent and they'd be healed. So what if they didn't look on it? Brother Robin? So they had to what? Look on the serpent? He gave him a gift. He gave him something and he said, here it is. But you're going to have to accept this because you're still going to be bitten by the fiery serpent. Jesus, whether you like the analogy or not, Jesus became sin for us. He is the remedy for sin. If he be lifted up, it's the same way. And he didn't say you get it automatically. When it affects you, you got to go look. You got to go get it. It's going to be lifted up. It's not going to be hard to see. It's going to be before everybody, but you're going to have, and you might be over two rises, or you may be, there was a lot of people, you may be miles off, but if you get bit, you better head that way. And he gave it. As a remedy, he gave it. You're going to have to accept the remedy. This is the remedy. And you're going to have to accept that. I ain't going to try to do it my way. I don't want to travel 15 miles a day to look on that thing. You're going to have to accept the gift. Jesus came to minister unto our broken lives. He come to give us something, and it's not about us ministering so much to the Lord as it was the Lord us allowing and saying like Peter did, now wash my feet. You will never minister to me? No, Lord, I need ministered to. I need you to help me with this. I got things in my life. I know what we like to do. I do it too. I like to figure out how it works and how I can do it. I want to know what the process is. I want to know the mechanics so that I can manipulate and do the mechanics. I want to know how to fix it. And the Lord didn't say any of that. He said, unto you is born this day. Here's the remedy for the problems. Folks, we need to accept what the Lord has brought to us. There's a passage of scripture in I believe it's Jeremiah 2, where the Lord says,
in the 12th verse, "Be astonished, O you heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." Isn't that amazing? He starts out with, "Be astonished, O ye heavens." The idea is kind of like the Lord turns around and calls his angels and says, "Would you come and look at this?" Could you imagine you're in a barren, dry land where water is so valuable? I mean, to find water at times, to get water, satisfying water. He spoke of himself as a fountain of living water, artesian, flowing, cold, satisfying. Everybody would want to run to that, right? That's the idea. In a barren land, that would be surrounded all the time. You have to wait to get your pot in there. You know, I mean, water. And he says of this in a likeness, "Oh heavens, come and witness this. Here is this fountain of living water, and they won't drink it." I ain't drinking it. I ain't drinking that. I'd rather have old stale water than have to drink from there. I'm not going to, "Unto you is born." This is, I'll have the angels witness to this. I brought this life that is healing and blessed and will bless your home and your family and is riches beyond compare in our souls, and they won't. I'm not being critical here. I like all of it too. But you can hang up the lights. I mean, people hang up the lights. I mean, you can do all the functions of Christmas and say it's the reason for the season. I want to tell you what the reason was. He brought it for us to accept it. It is, none of it matters if the thing that he brought isn't accepted. It's the gift of God to us, for him to get the great privilege of ministering to us. That's what the Lord, he said of himself, "I didn't come to be served. I didn't come here to have people serve me. I come to serve you." They committed two trespasses against the Lord. If you can imagine, rather than accepting the free-flowing water, they started working. Anybody ever try to chisel on a rock? I've done it a number of times. You ever try to chisel out an even place of rock? There's a lot of work in chipping out in rock. Enough to get a cistern to hold any amount of water. They started chipping out, building themselves. If you can imagine the scene, God's absolutely amazed at it. Because here's this, and over here's this, and they reject this and start building out. This is all in a spiritual sense. They dig it out. And then when they get through, what's the best you can? You still got to put water in it. You got to put water in it. You got to get water in there. So the work's just now starting. You're going to have to keep water in there. And then put water in there. And then what's water like after a few days? I mean, after a while. What about the sediment in it? What about the birds coming and drinking from it? What about the birds that fly over it? What about the insects and everything that gets in there and starts affecting the water's value? And I mean, it starts fooling with the water. Water can really go bad. And it gets warm. It's not very satisfying that way, is it? Not really. It's not really very satisfying. Yeah, you can live off that stuff, but it's not very satisfying. It doesn't do anything. It's not a very good comparison. And then they do that, and then guess what? After a while, they get a crack in it. And now you work continually. People work continually, just keep working and laboring and do that, and there's a gift there. the gift of God. And we can just trust. We just trust in the Lord and give it to the Lord. The Lord wants to bring us, and he wants us, Lord help us, but he wants us to be able to accept this gift that he brought to us. Just recently, I saw where, well, you all, some of you know him, but Logan Woodruff, but he was off doing it, and he looked, and there was, and he had a little video of it. There was a buck caught in the fence, and he let the buck out of the fence, but the buck fought against the gift. Amen. And of course, he's a wild animal, not saying that, but we're not wild animals, folks, in order to do that. Now, I put on the board something. I put the depiction of the crucifixion on the board. The middle cross, of course, was that old rugged cross that's sung about, the emblem of suffering and shame. It represents what the Lord gave for us, the sacrifice, the suffering, all that he had given, his birth was pointed towards this. This was what he came to do. He came to die on that cross for us. That's why he was born. He came to minister. He came to show the way of salvation. He came to teach us how to live in salvation. He came to do that. But here was where Jesus, this was what he was born to do, right here. He was born to go to that cross. And so when we, if I hadn't put the two other there, you'd look and say, there's the representation of the Lord there. But when you put the other two crosses there, you add a little bit to the idea, you're a little bit to the dimension here. Now it means something. Now you got the plan of salvation given to by the Lord. You got that emblem of suffering and shame. But do you know that there was somebody else there suffering too? There was a couple other people. And they both, which is very fitting, were malefactors. They were criminals. Folks, in the sight of God, we're all criminals. No, everybody's undone. All of us need the gift. All of us need the gift. We all need to open it. We all need to know what's in there. We all need to experience it. And there they are. And a representation here of this sacrifice was that God did this, folks. God allowed this scene. Jesus could have been there alone without this other. But I think he put that there and for our minds and for our understanding, because God, he had came and now he's fulfilling this. And now perfectly, and it goes, I think it will go down for all time as the ultimate statement when you see this of choice. There they were, right? Christ in the middle and one on the left. And one on the right, and there's two guys. You can't tell them apart in the scriptures. They're two malefactors. They were criminals. They're thieves. They're do that. And one of them, right down to the end of his life, scorned and grit his teeth. And he done all of those. And Christ, and just as much to anybody that was ever born, was those angels' words to the shepherds. Unto you was born. This is your gift, my brother. Here's your gift in all your sinful ways and all that you've ever done, your murder, thieving against society and all the blasphemies and all the things that you did against God. Still, unto you is born. Here's the gift. Do you deserve a gift? No, don't deserve no gift. But here it is, and forever to say, and today I want to offer this to you. This still goes for us today. Amen. The gift of Jesus Christ. The gift for salvation. The gift for healing of mind, soul, body. The gift for what we need in life. When we got that tangled up, our horns locked with one another and can't get away from it, there's the gift yet. It's a cry away. So one of the men said, if you be God, get us down out of here. Jesus didn't respond. You can say all that you want to, but unto you, my brother, unto you. And the other one, Here sets forever the decisions. Christ is right there. And the other one said, wasn't a lot, it wasn't big educated words. It definitely wasn't masterly. He simply said, remember me. He opened the gift. Right down at the end, unto you. He took what the Lord had brought, and he opened it up. And said, Lord, I accept your mercy. Lord, give me. Have mercy on me. Help me with this. This is what he come for. This is what, and we can, and I'm not against Christmas, as I already stated. But I can't help from every year remembering the words of Brother Sammons when he said, every year the multitude of the people cry, Lord, Lord, but they do not what he says. And I can't help from thinking about that as it goes through. It's one thing to say all this, and it's another thing to accept what the Lord actually came to give us in this. If you haven't accepted that, the other is kind of, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense about anything. But the Lord wants us to be a partaker of what he bought. This is not contrary to the message last night about fighting. We fight. We have to fight for this position sometimes to get to be able to receive this. There is a war and a fight for this. We have to fight the devil sometimes to be able to get to this. But it's an acceptance of what God did. It's opening the package. I opened all my packages this year. They bought me some Christmas presents, and I opened them. I was glad to open them. I wanted to see what was in there, and I opened them all up. Then it went to my mother-in-law, and she had some presents for me, too, and I opened them, too. I opened them. Somebody else gives me one, I'll open it, too. I'll take it. I'll open it. I'll see what's there. God's got a lot for us. I think if we could realize sometimes how we go right on by when the Lord has made a promise to us, and here is the package. All we need to do is accept that from the Lord and open it, and we can have the benefits of that. I don't think we know how sometimes to do things, but the Lord has the ability and the way to do that. He can give us a gift. And let's say one time years ago, I had a guy I worked with, and he was a person that believed that you didn't do anything to be saved, and you didn't do anything to stay saved, and it was all up to the Lord. And he believed that once you were saved, you're always saved, and all that. And we had our discussions as we worked sometime, and one day he had a visual thing he wanted to do with me, so he got me a pen. And he said, now, Marty, I want to give you this pen as a gift. Now, I knew what he was doing, so I said, but I want to give you this pen as a gift. Well, that's awful nice of you. So I got it, and he said, now, do I have a right to take that back? Nope. It's my pen. You can't take that from me. And I took it and threw it away. I knew what his illustration was. I take his pen and threw it away. Don't want your pen. I don't want to die. I don't have to have your pen. And I said, that's the same way. I know what your point is. God ain't going to take a gift from you. I ain't throw my gift away if I want it. I just threw it away. There. I don't have to take your pen. You know, we can do the Lord like that too. The Lord has gifts for us, but we don't have to keep the gift. God's got grace. I don't have to have grace. I can act any way I want to act. Not without penalty, but I can act any way I want to. I can have right there at the threshold. I'm at the threshold of my package. I can have what I need, but I don't have to accept it. And I find in all life that right there is where I'm at. Most of the time, I'm hanging there, and I'll be one or two of those people right there. I'll be the one that says, I am not taking this. I'm not accepting this. Or I'll be the one that says, Lord, give me that. Let me have that. And in Nicodemus' case, after all that was done, I want to follow up on him because he was a success. Nicodemus was a success in his scriptures, and he come down, and the Lord was trying to get something to him, and he was unwrapping in that package, and he'd done all that. Then the most common scripture in the whole Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Do you know he was looking in Nicodemus' eyes? Do you know what that must have been like? The man that spoke like no other man spake, and he done it with authority, and he done it from God, and he done it in the power of the Spirit, and he was looking, deeply looking into Nicodemus' eyes. You don't think that was transformative? He had a gift for Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you come by night, but I'm going to make you walk in the day. I'm going to give you something that's powerful and able to do it. Are you able to witness for the Lord with power? You can. There's a gift. It's not you. If I consider even every time I even get up to speak in front of people, I consider it a gift from somebody that had no ability at all to do it. I didn't have the mentality or anything to do it, and yet the Lord gave me a gift to be able to get up here. You can think what you want to with it. But to me, it was the Lord that gave me something to fulfill what he wanted me to do. And I had to embrace the gift. I had to accept the gift. I had to keep the gift. This is my gift from the Lord. This is my gift. And I want to pray that the Lord would help me to keep the gift and expand the gift and work with it. But this will be, folks, you're here today too. You're here today. As long as we're here, right here is where we're at. We've not got out of here yet. We're forever in the place of accepting or denying what the Lord's wanting to do with us. I can tell you what the will of the Lord is. In some areas, without doubt, it is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So I know the will of the Lord today is, and I know the Lord loves us and wants to make us whole. He wants to make us whole today. He wants to work in our lives, and the things that have affected our life from culture, from the way mom and dad thought, grandpa thought, and the things that was instilled from me by the environments that I was in and the places that I was in, and those places that mesh and blend into the congregation to make a richness of the difference of people, God has put it there and put there, and the things that's contrary to the Lord, he wants to be able to root them out of there. He wants to be able to bring us all together, whether it's Greek or Roman or whatever it is, whatever nationality, whatever race, whatever your gender, sex, whatever all that stuff is, all that. God wants to bring us to united into a place to where we're whole. Do you know somebody that's whole? Don't go getting bent out of shape and worked up and lose everything and lose their control because somebody says something bad about them. No, there's a self-confidence in there. God be with me. God can give me strength about this. God makes me whole. And I know who I am in God. You might not know. You might say anything, but I know who I am in God. I won't talk bigger than I am because I can, you know, I mean, I have to get there sometimes. But the Lord, that's the place. Lord, you got a gift for me here in this area. I'm feeling run down. I want to open me another package, Lord. I know you got one. Help me to open up what the Lord says. So I can say like Peter, Lord, wash my feet. Lord, wash my feet. And you know, sometimes, I remember one time Brother Sammons said that he was praying and praying and praying that the Lord would visit him, needed a visit. And he was praying and praying and praying. So all of a sudden the door opens up and Brother Purvis walks in and the Lord spoke to him and said, here I am. Sometimes the Lord going to send a brother. Sometimes the representation is going to be you. Sometimes it might be me. God's going to send, and God knows how to work in our lives. Lord, help us today to be able to accept what God done for us and not be like that old raccoon I had that just would not tame. He would not accept. He would not tame. He was going to stay wild. Or some of them old bucks that get caught in the fence and they're going to die in the fence. And they'll fight everything they can to keep you from getting them out of the fence. They don't know that they're going to be freed by it. They don't know what the answer is, but they're wild. Yeah. They're wild and they're going and they're fighting for that, and they can't understand that. You know, people are like that sometimes, and they come in and we look at it as Christians. I know we do. I do a lot. I'll come and look at a situation and I see two brothers that are locked up, their horns locked up together, and they're fighting and struggling like that, and I look at it and say, oh, it'd be so much better if they could pull this thing together. Why would they want to be like that? It would be really, really easy. It was over something silly. It was over something so small and trivial. Why don't they want to do this? But you get things involved in it and all this ran right. One of these times going to be right there.
Right.
Lord, have mercy on me.
Right.
Help me to be able to accept what you've come to do, because in Christ, I'm sorry to name, it's all in all.
Right.
He did it all. I mean, what we need is in Christ, and there's the answer for it. And Lord, minister to our souls. And let us be free enough to allow you to do it. To let us say, I know what it is. I mean, I know what it is. It's a life change. There was a young man came to the Lord one time and said, good master, what must I do to be saved? Some words transpired, but the Lord loved him in one passage. And he imparted to him, go sell all that you have. I'm going to give you the gift to this young man. Go sell all that you have. It's a detriment to you. It's not good for you. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor and take up your cross. Follow me. Oh, you'll be rich then. You'll have something then. You're trying to change who I am, my identity, trying to write down. Yeah, that's right. I'm trying to take off the things that's going to ruin you and destroy you. The things that you got, you're so locked. You got that old money's got you so locked up in that fence that you can't turn one way or the other hardly. You got all this things that you got to do and all these things that tying you up and all this. And from financial things to too much involvement in one thing or another. And you get claws and talons stuck in you so much and you can't get loose from it. And the Lord comes by and he wants to start pulling them talons out and try to get you loose from that thing. And it's a fight and struggle all the way. Lord, help us to just accept what the Lord wants to do for us. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.